Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, September 30th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two fantastic guests to talk about some interesting topics. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, mostly for the second half of the show, but we'll get to that in a moment. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
I'm glad to have you with us. And Andrew, you have some iOS 13 messaging tips for us.
Yes. Some cool things that happened in iOS 13 was with iMessages. In my opinion, the biggest, I have three tips. So the biggest out of these three tips, I think, is you can create a name and photo for iMessage, and then you can choose to share it with your contacts always or have it ask you all the time, which is nice because now with this, you don't have to manually update your contacts on your phone. It just automatically sends to all your contacts if they're on iOS 13.
Okay.
Yeah. So where do I
knew I had seen messages and I'd heard about the feature, of course, but I, with friends and folks, I've seen messages that come in and say, do you want to accept this person's thing? Where do I control to whom I send that though? I did not know that that was an option.
Yeah. So there's a couple different areas you can find it. If you just open messages, you can tap the three dots at the top and it will ask you edit your name and photo. And then you can tap the name and photo sharing toggle and, you know, set it up.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a share automatically. And I have two options. One is contacts only and the other is always ask. And that same screen is available if you go into settings, messages, to share name and photo. And it's the same same sheet comes up and lets you pick your name, your photo, and of course, your who and how and when. Ah, that's pretty good, man.
That's awesome.
All right. Good.
I like that tip. It can also be a Memoji. I just want to jump in there for people like me who are on Team Home Button. We finally got Memoji after a fashion, and I'm pretty excited about
it. Yeah, so you can use a real photo or a Memoji. And speaking of Memoji, that is my a couple of other tips.
Okay.
So with Memoji, Apple added a whole, like, new levels of customization with it. So if you open messages again, tap on a conversation with someone. You may be able to find this in settings too. Tap that in that bar of above your keyboard. Tap the button that looks like three faces, and that's where you can find it. So you can change your hair color, your eye color, and the new options are like makeup, nose, and other facial piercings. And like if maybe you want vampire teeth. You can add that too.
Oh,
so it's pretty cool.
It's October tomorrow, so let's all get festive with our Memojis.
And so
I loved it, by the way. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So what's different in iOS 13 is that they added this before, I think, in maybe iOS 11 with the iPhone 10. But now you can drag and drop it, your Memoji, as a sticker in iMessage.
Yeah.
So that's another new feature.
And there's a whole set of Memoji stickers that show up in the emoji keyboard. So if you create a Memoji, then you will see a bunch of sort of standard issue reactions that your Memoji is making. So like I built one immediately because that was the one thing I wanted in a Face ID phone that I wasn't able to get was Memoji. So when I went in and built all the stickers, or I built the one Memoji, and then I went in to reply to somebody's text message, and I'm like, what is all this over here? And it was all these Memoji of like with the tear and the thumbs up and the thumbs down and a peace sign and an eye roll and the whole, and it was all the Memoji I just built, which I thought was pretty great. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do like that.
You can build multiple Memojis for yourself, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
which is handy, I guess. I mean,
well, it could be. You know, maybe you wear a hat. Maybe sometimes, maybe you don't. You know, yeah, it's difficult to say. Yeah. But yeah, as stickers, they work like any other sticker. You can just tap on it and send like the large version of it as as a message, or you can drag and drop it on someone else's messages, just like the other stickers that you have. So they're super cool.
Right. And then finally, I had fun playing with this Animoji. So this works in iMessage and FaceTime. So again, when you're in a message or a FaceTime conversation, you go into that conversation, but instead of tapping that three head button, you tap the monkey button, and this is for Animoji. So if you have a device with Face ID, you can tap this and select your Memoji or another Animoji onto your face, and it moves around live, superimposed. It's really fun.
Oh, I don't have a monkey button.
Well, you will when your new phone arrives,
yes.
Kelly.
Yes, but I don't have one now. Now I'm very sad about it. So I'm sorry, Team Home Button folks. you get Memoji, but no real-time Animoji. So
yeah, well, your Team Home Button is a team of dwindling size.
Oh, I know.
It's a team of migration, right? It's a team of upgrades. So there
yes,
you go.
If That's you are a team thing. Home Button, I mean, we've discussed this before. If you are on Team Home Button, it might be time to pull the trigger. These are totally upgrades that are worthwhile, as Dave can tell you, and as I hope to tell you very, very soon, because I do have a new phone on the way. So,
so I have a tip that we learned in Mac Geek Gab about iOS 13 yesterday. Actually, I have several, and I'm not actually sure that this first one is iOS 13 specific, but you know, when you're typing, it could be anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Messages, mail, anywhere. And you want to type a single digit of a number. And so you tap the 1, 2, 3 button, and then you tap the number. Let's say it's 6. And then you have to tap the ABC button to get back to the regular keyboard, right?
Yes.
That's how we do this. So there are 3 taps to get one number in there. Well, no longer do you need to suffer through 2 of these 3 taps, because if you just press and hold, I don't want to say long tap, but press and hold on that 1, 2, 3 button, the keyboard will change immediately. Slide your finger to the digit that you want and release, and that digit will appear, and you'll be back at the text keyboard. And once you learn to do it, it's super right. It's super
That's
easy.
Cool.
I'm totally doing this right now, and I know this makes for riveting podcasting, but oh my goodness.
I had no, yeah. I don't know when they did this, right? I mean, it.
I'll see you at 4. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'll see you at 4. Just got so much faster to do it. Yes.
Yeah. How does 2 work for you? Yes. Oh man.
Yeah. Well, especially if you want to say 4 PM, right? Because now you got to get back to the text keyboard and do your PM and it's right there. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Does 2 work? Does 3 work for you? Yes. Oh man. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's super duper cool.
It is.
All right.
It is. I know. That's great.
That's really awesome. So these are some awesome things that we've discovered in iOS 13. At some point, we will probably talk about how hard it is to discover stuff in iOS.
I do have one more that we shared yesterday.
And I would love to hear another one. Yes.
Okay. So in Control Center, there are not one, but 2, at least, ways that we've found to toggle dark mode. One is there for everyone all the time in Control Center, and that is, you swipe down into Control Center, and then you long press on the brightness slider, and you will have 3 options now at the bottom of the screen. The leftmost one tells you it's a dark mode toggle. The label on it is a little weird because it doesn't tell you what the button does. It tells you the current state of dark mode. So it will say dark mode off if it's currently off.
Yeah.
And then you tap it, and then you would be turning dark mode on. So you are toggling it with that, and the status just shows you the current state. It's just a little confusing until you know that, and then it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
And then the other way to do it is, if you don't want to mess with that, go to Settings, Control Center, and Customize Controls. And in there, you can add a standalone dark mode widget to Control Center, and then that you just tap and toggle real fast. So you don't even have to long press on the thing, and you know, heaven forbid we have to do an extra keystroke or tap here and there, but that
swipe,
saves
tap.
You from the extra tap.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just swipe, tap, and dark mode is either on or off real fast, and you're
Dang.
Good to go.
Yeah.
I know.
Nice.
Matt Geek Gab, saving taps since I don't remember when.
Yeah, at least, well, I was going to say 2005, but that's not true because the iPhone wasn't.
There were no taps in 2005. So, yeah.
That's true.
Matt Geekgab, saving you iOS taps since 2007.
That's right.
There we go. That's awesome. While we're here talking about iOS 13, there is another new operating system breathing down our necks, and that is Catalina. And so we're sort of dusting off the macOS upgrade machine right now after we put it away last November, and talking about the basic stuff. Like, it's time to start planning out your upgrades. Maybe you want to make sure that you do this over a weekend. If this is if it's a production machine that you have to get upgraded to 0 day, the thing I would tell you that's even more important than that is maybe you don't have to upgrade the day Catalina comes out. Not everyone does, or if you do, maybe you want to do it not on your primary machine. One of the huge reasons for that is because if you upgraded to Mojave and you've spent the last year getting some weird looking dialogue boxes about that app that you use all the time that says that it needs to be updated because it's a 32-bit app, that app will not work in Catalina. And I hope that's not news to anybody because we've been talking about it for a while. But it will no longer function under Catalina. Like, you sort of got Mojave as a grace period. So if you are using something that's 32-bit, and there are utilities for verifying if anything in your application folder is in fact 32-bit, and maybe it needs an upgrade, maybe you need to find an alternative app. Some things have sort of been abandoned over the years. And those are the kind of things you need to make sure of. Make sure your Time Machine thing is up to date. Make sure whatever your remote backup system looks like, that you've kind of got all of that up to speed. And Dave, you have even more information for us about that.
I do. Well, I've got several pieces that relate to all of that. So the first is, yes, there are apps out there that will help you find what is lingering that's still 32-bit on your machine. My favorite one is called Go64. It's from the same folks at St. Clair Software that have brought us Default Folder for years and all that stuff. And they wrote this utility, and it's super easy. But another great utility to run to make sure everything is up to date. The problem generally isn't the things that we run every day, all day, because when you launch those, they update themselves. But sometimes you have to, if you don't launch an app, it doesn't know to update itself, especially if it's not from the Mac App Store, right? You have no idea, and you might be in a scenario where you've got a really old version of an app. And so there's this piece of software called Mac Updater from the Core Code folks. And this is my new favorite app. I cannot stop talking about it because it's great. It runs in the background. It scans my drive once a day and finds all the first time it ran, it found like 60 things. It was like, whoa, I'm really behind on some of these apps that either I don't use, I haven't used in a while, or I don't use often enough. But when I use them, it's that I launch it and I need to do whatever I need to do right now. I don't have time to wait for an update to come in, right? And so I say, tell me next time, right? And I just keep kicking that can down the road. Well, Mac Updater lets you pick up all those cans and put them in the recycling bin, is really what it does. So Mac Updater is another great one to run just to scour your drive and find and make sure that you're up to date. And even if it's not a 64-bit problem, it's just better to generally speaking, it's better to be up to date. And it's great. It'll warn you if it's a major update. Like if you're going from version 6 to 7 of an app, that it will flag versus, 6.0.3 to 6.0.4, that it will flag differently, so that it'll highlight those. So that's all good.
Yeah.
But there will be that app for many of us that 4 months after we upgrade to Catalina, we will go to launch it and it won't run.
Yep.
And there will be a panic moment. And I know I will experience this panic moment. I don't know what it will be, because if I did, I would route around it. But and in that moment, it'll be like, whoa, crap. Like, I need to get this thing out in the next 30 minutes. I don't have time to go find a replacement app, learn how to use it, get it done. I just need to use that app.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this next tip comes in. We always say to back up before you do any sort of upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Another piece of advice that I've lived with for many years, because it saved my bacon accidentally once and now I do it intentionally, is I clone at least once a year, but I try to do it twice a year. I clone my main Mac's drive to a disk image, and I put it on, like, I have a big storage, NAS yeah. device with my Synology or whatever. But I just find a place where it's not going to get, you know, messed with. You're not going to be tempted to delete it, and just go put it out there once every 6 months. Mm-hmm. This has saved my bacon when I delete some file and I realize it, you know, a year later or something, and there's no way I've got a time machine backup going that far. All my cold storage stuff works, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the trick. If you've got that disk image with Mojave in your, you know, a cold storage, you can run a virtualizer like Parallels or VMware, or I think maybe even VirtualBox, which is free. I haven't tested it with that yet. And you can boot into your old Mac OS operating system right there and Whoa. Get whatever you need done. Right? Mm-hmm. Because Mojave's still going to run your 32-bit apps. And yes. as long as it's running inside that virtualizer, it doesn't matter what Mac you're running it on. Even if there's some Mac that won't run Mojave in the future, it doesn't matter because it'll run Parallels, and Parallels will run Mojave.
Yep.
Or VMware, or I think VirtualBox. I got to test that, but I will. And you can listen to Mac Geek Gab. I'll follow up. But that's my advice to everybody is if you've never done it, if you do it as a matter of course, great. If you've never done it before, now is the time because this really is a fundamental shift. Yeah. And there are a lot of things that won't work. Speaking of emulator-ish type stuff, there's an app called, it's an app, I guess, called Wine. We Mac users know the Mac-skinned version of it called Crossover, which allows you to run Windows programs without having to run Windows. Mm-hmm. It's very cool because it's not an emulator. In fact, that's what Wine stands for. It's a self-referential acronym, right?
Yes.
Wine is not an emulator. It runs some libraries that translate the Windows function calls to Mac function calls, for lack of a more descriptive term.
Yeah.
But it also then runs the code on your chip because Windows runs on Intel chips. So these things are compiled for Intel. You can see where this is going. If it's compiled for 32-bit, those apps will not run inside Wine on Catalina. And it will take a lot of work for Wine to support them. I don't know that that will ever happen. So those kinds of things you still need to run or now will need to run inside an emulator.
Yeah.
You could do that inside your previously mentioned Mojave thing, but you're probably better off if it's a Windows app, just like start running it inside Windows if it's an old 32-bit Windows app. And there are going to be, there's a lot of games that are actually leaving Mac yeah. OS because of this, right? Because yeah. they're like, if you're not going to support 32-bit stuff, like we'll go to the operating system that does. Thanks very much. But
yeah,
make that disk image clone. I use Carbon Copy Cloner to do it.
Yeah.
But yep. So that's a much, that's my advice.
That's a way nicer solution than what I have, which is to, I think mine is set like quarterly, and I have a great big hard drive, just a plain old external hard drive, and I plug it in and, you know, like some Friday night or something, and then just plug it in and let it make a bootable clone overnight on a partition. So here's
the big problem with that, though. After you have Catalina, when you do that, it will update your existing bootable clone from Mojave to Catalina, and now you can't boot and run your 32-bit apps. So this is a disk image that can be booted from something else. And when I say cold storage, I mean not updating it in the future, just making a new one right. in the future so that you've got these, you know, snapshots in time, if you will.
Yeah, you'll definitely need those.
Yep. Yeah. Well, if you make one, you won't need it. But if you don't make one, you will.
But it's better off not. Yeah, you're much better off not needing one for the most part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always how that works. We will have links to the apps mentioned. We will have links to more information about some of this stuff in the show notes. And if you have tips that you want to make sure that we get covered as we head the inevitable march toward the end of 32-bit apps, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave comments in the show notes, which is a good way to make sure that other people who are reading and watching are able to see that stuff as well. So this sounds great. I am going to have to sit down and spend a little time with making disk image updates to make this stuff work, because I'm like you, Dave, like I'm gonna go through and look at everything and be like, oh yeah, it's fine, and then it turns out I have some app that lives in my home folder or something, you know, that I need twice a year.
It's not fine, right?
Yeah, and then it turns out, oh no, totally the opposite of fine. So both.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, it less likely, but you may, even if it's an app you're not using right now, you may, you know, in 3 months do a Google search for something and it says, oh, yeah, you can solve that problem that you have by running this little app. And yeah. It's like, well, it's a 32-bit app. It's like, well, you know what? I've got a Mojave boot installed like that I can just go to. I don't need to create it from scratch. I don't need to wait through all that. Just boot, go get it, run it, done, you know, 10 minutes or less, and you're finished. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That is a super duper duper handy tip. And I'm sure we will get more into that as Catalina gets closer. And in the meantime, the thing is getting closer right now. It's the end of the show. So I want to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for all the iMessage tips.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you can expect Memoji stickers, fast and furious, now that I've discovered them, very, very soon. Dave, thanks for being here to talk to us about Catalina.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
Yeah, and I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.